with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for another wonderful week here in beautiful Brevard County. Last week we had two birthdays and I sang happy birthday. And so I want you to know it's not my desire to scare off any radio listeners. So I'm not going to sing happy birthday today, but there's a person in my life that they've known me their whole life. I've known them most of my life. It's one of the longest relationships that I have in my life, and today is their birthday, and I am so pleased with what God is doing in her life and her family and how God is blessing them. And so today is their birthday, and so happy birthday to my sister. So Coastal Image Landscapes is right here in Merritt Island, Florida, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. Dan and his team have done a wonderful job. I want you to think about this question, because I like to golf to relax, and I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do, but there are some times when I want to go play golf and I walk outside and it's like, you know what? It is so hot out there. I don't want to go out there and play golf. My desire to stay cool is a greater driving force in my life than the desire to go hit a golf ball. Some people think that's sacrilegious. It's okay. I'm at peace with it. But Dan and his team, they're out there almost every single day, Monday through Friday, making people's yards the oasis that they would like it to be, that place of beauty, the place where they can go and relax, and when the temperature is not as hot as the temperature of the sun, that they can just enjoy their homes and the beautiful landscape, the pavers, and all of the other projects. They've got a whole list of projects that they've done. They've not just done projects for me. They've not just done projects for the church. They are highly sought after. They do high-quality work, and I pray that you would consider Dan and his team at Coastal Image Landscapes if you have an outdoor project. If you don't have one on the calendar anytime soon, at least take a moment and pray for those people who are out there battling the elements to do their part to keep Brevard beautiful. And we say a great big thank you to Dan, to Treasure and Heaven and Chewy and the rest of the team. Those are the four people that I know by name, but we are very thankful that God has brought them into our lives, and we pray God's blessings upon them and that he keeps them safe. So back to the Word of God we go today, to the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11 and pick up in verse number 12. We're moving through this at a snail's pace, but anytime you start talking about Jesus, man, the time can just sure seem to fly. Verse number 11, John writes, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, when David conquered one particular kingdom, he took the crown off of that king's head and he put that crown on his head. And if I'm not mistaken, the crown weighed about 75 pounds. Now, I'm not going to be wearing a 75 pound crown. I'm just telling you, I'm not doing it. If I had one, I wouldn't do it. A crown was symbolic of sovereignty. It was what a king wore. And it says here in verse number 12 that when Jesus comes, that on his head there are many crowns. In other words, he is not just king in certain jurisdictions. He is king in multiple jurisdictions. In fact, later on it says King of Kings. He's the king over every king. You know, Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem, Jerusalem means the city of peace. Melchizedek, king of righteousness, and so there was a dual kingship there. He was both Melchizedek was a king and a priest at the same time. Jesus is coming and he's wearing multiple crowns. Jesus is not just king of our church services. He's not just king in our homes. He's king over every government. He's king over every economy. He's king in every realm. So one of the things that I like to mention to our congregation is that he is king over my spirit. He is king over my mind. He is king over my will and over my emotions. He is king over my body. He is king in my home. He is king over the church. He is king over the government. He is king over the military. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He wears many, many crowns. Any crowns that the elders in heaven had, they take and they lay them at his feet. Because he is the one who is worthy. So I want to ask you today on this Monday morning, if there's some areas of your life that maybe you need to surrender that portion of your life to Jesus. I know that most everybody listening will have asked him to forgive them of their sins and be the Lord of their life. That's great. But what about your relationships? Had a person one time and we were talking about their relationship in light of God's word. And they said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead with this relationship and then I'll repent and everything will be fine. And it's like, you don't understand. You don't understand that when God has dominion, that his responsibility in that dominion is to keep hostile forces out of that jurisdiction. So the word of God and the God of his word needs to prevail, not just in our spirits, but needs to prevail in every area of our life, because there are some toxic relationships that can distract you or destroy you. I mean, when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, there was a king that brought in a seer, S-E-E-R, who he said, I want you to pronounce a curse. on Israel, and he said, I can't curse what God has blessed. And he tried different vantage points. Well, maybe you can't see, maybe if you just see a portion of them, there'll be something there that will make the, there's a verse in Proverbs that says an undeserved curse does not come to rest. And so this king said, well, maybe if you can just see a portion of them, maybe you can pronounce a curse on that area. Balaam was the seer that they brought in to try and pronounce a curse, but God turned the curse into a blessing. And Balak, who was the king, was like, I could have blessed you to such an extent, but, you know, you have not been able to do that. And he said, let me tell you what I do see about the future. Well, after that episode takes place, Balaam doesn't pronounce a curse, but he does figure out a way to use the females to go in and sow fornication into the camp of the Hebrews, and judgment breaks out. And so you need God to be Lord over your relationships. You want him to wear the crown over your relationship. Samson was one of the judges of Israel that brought deliverance to Israel, but Samson had a problem with the relationship area. He didn't allow God to rule in the area of his relationships. In fact, his parents tried to talk him out of relationships. And he said, nope, that's the one I want. And it led to a great conflict and pain and suffering. And that was even before Delilah. That was before Delilah. Delilah was just one in a sequence. And, you know, in spite of the fact that she set trap after trap for him, he still was blinded to the fact, she's not in love with you, dude. She's trying to destroy you. And it wasn't until the very end that Samson realized that God wants to wear the crown over every area of our life. Let's take it out of the physical. Let's take it into our mental areas there. Revelation 19:12, and on his head were many crowns, not just a single crown, but many crowns. So what if we allowed God to be sovereign in our thought life? There's a verse that says, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I used to, when I was working retail, I was always looking for a way that, you know, you could make more money selling shoes. I was looking all sorts of ways. And by the way, the shoe industry now looks entirely different than it did from what I had back in the day. And shoes, to a large extent, are about the same price. Some of them are more expensive, but they're also a whole lot more comfortable than we had back there. As far as guys' shoes, and ladies' shoes have changed quite a bit. But you know what? Most of the things I thought about never came to pass. The Bible tells us that we are to bring every thought into captivity and into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So allow God, allow Jesus to wear the crown of the thoughts that you think. There are people who literally spend their thought life thinking of ways to take advantage of other people, to take what is theirs and steal it and reappropriate it, whether it's an identity or whether it's their finances. They lay awake at night and they plot and they scheme, and if they can't get it through dishonest means, they will try and get it through destructive means. And so they're not opposed to making schemes of doing harm or killing people. They spend all of their thought life doing that. What if the church allowed God to be the Lord over our thought life, so that we were thinking his thoughts and hearing what he wanted to do and the process he wanted to use to expand his kingdom into other people's lives? So God is king over our finances. I try and be very transparent with you here on the program. There was one day, and this goes back, you know, almost 20 years ago, so it goes back a ways. And we were driving a car. That's about all that you can say about it. All of our cars were normally old, had lots of miles on them. Things didn't work on them. And I knew other people that claimed to be Christians, didn't go to church, not sure they ever read the word, not sure that there was any sovereignty of God in their finances. And I was like, God, what's up with this? I mean, we're struggling to make it financially. And here are these other people that are not doing, and you know, just like in Psalm 73, all of a sudden God said, don't worry about them. You don't worry about them. I'll deal with them, but you just allow me to rule and reign in your finances. And you know what? I'll do a great job of ruling and reigning in the financial kingdom of your life. And he has. That was before this radio program. The radio program here, I'm don't get any compensation for this. This is just part of the ministry of Merit Assembly of God to the community here, and we're perfectly fine. The church takes wonderful care of us. We are blessed beyond measure. We're now, I believe, over 60 missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, from a congregation that is, quite frankly, to borrow a line from Dave Ramsey, God treats us better than we deserve. We're just blessed, and so that's. But you know, in order to be a blessing, you have to be blessed. So a friend of mine, when God became king over his finances, it was one of those situations where his financial world was radically changed. See, and when God's king over your finances, wears the crown over your finances, 90% in his kingdom goes farther than 100% without him on the throne. And this particular person was like, I'm almost to the point where God is blessing me so much that I'm kind of embarrassed because of where I had been, and now other people are still where I was, and God's blessing me and has continued to bless them. I mean, the journey that God has brought in that family, because Jesus wears the crown in the financial realm of their life, it is amazing. It is truly, truly a testimony. So when Jesus comes, he is going to be wearing many crowns. How many crowns is he currently wearing in your life, in my life? I pray that we get to the place where he's wearing all the crowns. There's some old hymns. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. So I'm thankful he wears the crown over my life. He wears the crown over my wife's life. We trust him implicitly with the crowns. And, you know, when you've walked that journey with him, one day you may have the conversation with him that I had one day where he said, "I've been very good to you." And I said, "Yes, sir, you have." He said, "I've taken you places that you never would have got to on your own." And I said, "Yes, sir, you are absolutely correct." You will never regret the sovereignty of Jesus in an area of your life. But we will all regret areas of our life where we tried to rule and reign ourselves. If you're like me, you can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and have the experience to prove it. But Jesus wants to wear the crown. It says also here in Revelation 19:12 that he had a name written that no one knew except he himself. Had a name that no one knew except for he himself. This could be a name that is unknown to all created beings, and so outside of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, no one knows this name. Let me tell you this on a Monday. Maybe it'll help. It'll light a fire. Create a search. And that is this: Jesus is an infinite God. He's an infinite God. And we have a finite mind. That means there's a lot about Jesus that we don't know yet, that we don't understand. And so I'm not a guy that is feels bad if somebody asks me a question and I'm not able to answer. I say, "You know what? I don't have an answer for that question, but I know someone who does. And I can go and I can ask him." And you can go and you can ask him. A person that's a new believer, I will say, I'll make it a matter of prayer. I'll go and pray and see what God tells me. But a person that's an experienced believer, I'm going to say this: I'm going to make it a matter of prayer. Why don't you make it a matter of prayer? And let's meet again and let's find out what God tells you about that situation. Because here is a secret that the enemy does not want you to know. And that is this: God loves talking to his kids. On Facebook, there's a post that comes up a lot of times around Mother's Day, sometimes around Father's Day, special events, or it just happens to hit the cycle. But it says, you know, that parents love to hear from their kids, even when they're adults. And a lot of people that I know who've had either dads or moms, in my case, my mom has passed away. a lot of those would say, I would give anything in the world just to be able to have one more conversation with my parent. Just one more conversation with, just to ask them one more question. How did you do that? So here a year or two ago, we were having a conversation with my mother-in-law. She's been my mother-in-law for a long time. She's been my wife's mother way longer than that. And she started sharing things of family history. And I started writing them down because I said, I've never heard any of that. And my wife said, I've never heard any of that. You know, I went and visited my mom and dad several years ago. I learned something about my dad I didn't know. And unfortunately, I took a picture of that, and I was going through pictures and on a flight one day, and I accidentally deleted that picture. And it's like, oh man, how do I get that picture back again? You know, if there's things about earthly people, finite created beings, imperfect as they may be and imperfect as we may be, if there are things that we do not know about them, how much more do you think that there is things about Jesus, whether it's a name or part of his nature, part of his plan, part of his purpose, how much more do you think there is that we don't know about him? Not knowing is not a sign of frustration for me. It's an opportunity that says, you know what? I believe that there is the mother lode. That's a term for mining where they find an almost immeasurable resource of what they are mining. That's what we have with our relationship with Jesus. We are on an exploration, an adventure to end all adventures that says this. We are going to crown him with many crowns, and he's got a name that we may not know, but he wants us to explore everything. Listen, it's going to take Jesus all of eternity to make himself known to the redeemed, to the blood washed, to the forgiven and the saints of God. Let's start that adventure now. Let's get to know him as quickly as possible. Let's attempt to get our kids to know him, our grandkids to know him as quickly as possible, because that's the adventure of a lifetime. And I want to know him as much as I can know him this side of eternity, and even more on the other side. So we're off and running here on a Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.